Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Well, I was going to come up and go, hey, lost sinner. But, I will, I would do the other part, but that's Jorge's job over there. I don't want to take your part, Jorge. But, well, praise God. You know, God has called us to represent him. And as we begin a new series this month, as we transition into our fourth quarter theme, The Change, we are looking for God to bring about change in our lives. And in order for us to be effective as the people of God and to continually grow and to experience New Testament living, it requires change. It requires transformation that would take place over and over again as we grow closer to God. You see, we are abiding to abound in divine manifestation. And that's just a fancy way of saying we want to see the works of God take place in our lives. We want to see the evidences of God. We want the world to see that Christ is still alive and who he says he is. And we are the vessels. We are the people that God is using to impact people's lives, to show them Christ. And we all were in sin. We were born in sin, the word of God tells us. And then someone shared Christ with us, or maybe we were born into a family that were churchgoers. And at some point, while we were going to church, we had an encounter with God, and the Holy Spirit enabled us to see and to hear what he was saying. And we got hold of the truth of God, and it changed our lives. Some of us had someone, a friend or a loved one, share the gospel with us. Someone who we met, maybe even a stranger, who shared the love of God. Maybe they just invited us to church and said, hey, will you come to church with me? But in every case, God used somebody. There is a person who God is using. That person represents Christ in our lives. He or she is the person that God used to impact us. And when you have an impact, change is inevitable. Change is inevitable. And every Christian ought to always be changing, because God doesn't change. He has no need to change. He is already complete. He is already perfect. He is all that he is. And it is us who need to be conformed into his image. It is us who are being transformed into his likeness. And we are becoming more and more like Jesus every day, if we are the children of God, if we are applying the principles of the Word of God. And so our responsibility is to have an impact on the world, on the people that encounter us. No one that we know should encounter us and go away the same. They ought to go away from us having had a divine encounter of some sort. In some way, they ought to have benefited from an encounter with us, from greeting us, from just being introduced to us, just being able to work together with us, or to experience life in some way. We are imparting Christ with those who we meet and those who we engage. And it is the work of God that enables this to happen. And so we are looking for change. We are looking for transformation. That is what we ought to all be experiencing. No 2 days ought to be the same, but every day improvement ought to be made, being closer to God, being more faithful. Yesterday, we challenged the men to do something different each day. Apply just one biblical principle in your life every day. If we could just apply the Word of God in our lives, just one day at a time. We don't have to read the whole Bible and have it memorized and try to apply every single thing at once. But if you can grab one thing and just do that one thing different, and every day you apply that one thing, One day, you will look back at your life and you will see how far you've come. You will see how much Christ has made a difference in your life. And the Holy Spirit will honor your efforts and enable you and empower you to make the difference. And so as we look at this theme for today, we are beginning here in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. That is a picture of change. That is a picture of transition that is taking place in the life of the believer, in the heart of the person who is serving God or pursuing God. And God has called us to be in Christ. To be in Christ. That is the key. The key is to be in Christ. And when we are abiding in Him, everything changes. And so I'd like to use as a theme today, the agent of change. The agent of change. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask God that you would open up our ears that we may hear, that we would have eyes to see, that the Spirit of the Lord would arise in us, that you would transform us day by day, make us more and more of the people that you have called us to be. God, you have given us each a personality. You have given us a way of seeing things and perceiving things and understanding things. And God, we ask that you would use those gifts that you have given us, use those abilities that you have given us to bring glory and honor to your name. Help us, Lord, to be a part of this transformation that you are bringing about in our lives, that we are not being made into someone else, but we are being refined into a better version of the person you've called us to be, that Christ would shine through. He would shine through us in all that we do, and that you would continue to use us and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, there is nothing greater than serving the Lord and being a child of God, because it's like an adventure. You just never know what you're going to encounter from one day to the next, from one place to the next as we move about throughout the day. God is always doing something in someone's life that is connected to us. And we just never know how God is going to use us to help those people draw closer to God. That is the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. He is working in us to make us ready so that when we have encounters with people, we are prepared to represent Christ. And so whatever the situation or the circumstance is, our role is to represent Christ in those moments, in those divine connections, in those interactions, so that we can have an impact on someone's life. Important thing to have, that we would be able to bring about some form of change for the better in someone's life. Impact is the action of one object coming forcibly into contact with another. It's like when someone hits your car. Nobody likes that, isn't that right? Nobody likes that. You know, when your car is nice and new and clean, you know, you shine it up, you wax it, you go to the car wash, you vacuum it out, and you try to maintain it. But after someone crashes it, something happens, doesn't it? All of a sudden, it's not the same anymore. All of a sudden, you're not going to the car wash as much as you used to. You're not whipping out the vacuum cleaner as quickly as you used to. You're not so worried about it anymore. Why? Because there's a blemish. Something happened that caused an impact, and that impact caused you to change in the way you manage and deal with what you now have. And that same thing happens in our lives as people. And sometimes we have encounters with people that dent us and that cause us to be stained, like your kids who are eating their food in the back of the car and spilling it all down in the seats and underneath. And you don't realize it until you eventually go to clean the car. And then you find stuff under the seat. You find stuff stuck in the carpet, dried up milkshakes and French fries, or little pieces of bread and burger, and all these little things, you know. Sometimes you find chicken wings and little, you know, pieces of stuff that was left in the car, and you're going, who did this? And you know really who did it. You have an idea anyway, but it doesn't really matter. The point is, it just needs to be cleaned. And what usually upsets people is not that there was a mess, but that they didn't know about the mess until now. It's much harder to clean. And so as we live our lives, as we go through our lives, the longer we live, things get harder to deal with. They get harder to change, harder to clean. And so we get stuck in our ways. We get rooted in a certain mindset, but only Christ can change us. And so we need a divine encounter with God. We need to have something that is of a great impact that would cause us to be changed. And Christ wants to change us to be like him. We're not born like Jesus. In fact, we're born the opposite, right? We're born in sin. We are always the opposite of what God is saying that we ought to be. And so we must change. We must be transformed. And the only way that can happen is by coming forcibly into the presence of God. That's why the Holy Spirit washes over us. He impacts us. He breaks us. And he causes us to come to a place of brokenness and humility. That's where Jesus was. It is a place where we are impacted to the point where we realize we have to change. There is nothing worse than a person who is wrong and refuses to admit they are wrong. They refuse to look in the mirror and say, I need to change. That is a terrible place. That is a terrible person to be, because you can never get better than what you are today. You will be stuck in a rut. You will be stuck in this place. And usually it's a dark place. It's a place that hinders and keeps you from being able to be used more effectively or having a greater impact for the good on the lives of the people God brings into our life. And so as the people of God, we are constantly being changed. We are constantly being transformed. And that is what the church does. When we come together, it helps us to recognize the things that need to be changed in our lives. And some people face opposition by running away from it. They don't want to deal with the fact that they need to change. And they'll begin to blame you and me or anybody else, but they won't blame themselves. And God wants us to be able to blame ourselves and say, I need more of Christ. I need the Lord to bring more of his personality, more of his ways, more of who he is into my life. And I need Christ to blend himself into me so that I can be a representative of him. And so impact is important. It has a strong effect on someone or the thing that it is impacting. It is a powerful impact. And I don't know about you, but I need Christ every day to impact me. I need Jesus to impact me every day. I need the people of God to impact me every day. Otherwise, I will not change. I will keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, because it's a habit. It's the way I do it. It's the way I see it. But if I can have an encounter with people who see things differently, if I can have an encounter with people who have a different perspective, then I will be able to be used of God in a much greater way, because I am able to be flexible and to be able to adapt to whatever the need is in order to impact the lives of those God brings into my life so that I can help them draw closer to God. And so we know that impact is the ability to affect or influence people that God brings into our life. It is the ability to exert the knowledge and the understanding that God has given us into the lives of others to help people and help us all work together and act in the unity of the Spirit of God to be able to bring about a new way of living and operating for the kingdom of God's sake. Because we don't know how the kingdom of God operates except we abide in the Word of God and work together in the body of Christ within the church. And so we see in Ezekiel 36:22, Israel is being renewed or restored because of their rebellion into God, or they've been rebelling against God and going against the Lord, and God is trying to reach them. God is always trying to get his people to come back into proper alignment so that he can be the demonstration of reality to everyone around them. And God wants the world to know that he is who he is, that he is alive and that he is well, that he is a God of love and patience and kindness and gentleness. And he wants the world to know. In fact, the scripture says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so in verse 22 of Ezekiel 36, it says, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." God is saying he will transform us. He is saying that he will renew us. And this relates to the people of Israel who were scattered all around the world, and they were basically driven out of the promised land because of their disobedience and their rebellion against God. And certainly we know that in 1948 that Israel was reestablished and God brought all the people of Israel back, and he certainly restored them to their land. And all those who were willing to come came, and those who are willing to come still come. And even those of us who are Christians, we love to go to the Holy Land, people from all around the world, to see the land that God has given to his people, and to remember all the things that Jesus did and the disciples and those who are written about in Scripture. And so this is the prophecy of this event coming to pass and what it represents and what it means. And it's all coming together as God desires to restore his people. This is the kind of God we serve. God is a God of restoration. He is a God of healing. He wants to transform us. He wants to change our hearts. He wants our heart to be of a new spirit, of a right spirit, a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. And of course, that is, God doesn't want us to have hardened hearts, but he wants us to have pliable hearts, sensitive hearts, moldable hearts, so that God can use us, so that God can be glorified, so that God can be honored. God desires that all of us be reconciled to him and that we experience the newness of life. God has called us to be his ambassadors and his representative. And back in verse 25, he says he will clean them with clean water and they will be clean from all their filthiness of their idols, all the things that they were doing that was contrary to God, or the things that weren't of God. God says, I want you to change from those things. I want you to go away from those things. And I want you to come together in the unity of the Spirit. And that's what the church represents. It represents the people of God coming from all areas and aspects of life, coming together and being reconciled to God, being restored in the Lord, being able to experience and encounter God. In 1 Corinthians 6, it tells us that God has called us to rally together, to work together, and to not be so quick to go out into the world to resolve our issues and our problems, but to operate in the wisdom of God. He says in verse 1, does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to law or go to court before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? In other words, you and I, as the people of God, we ought to be able to work out our issues and our problems together. We ought to be able to work out and resolve our differences and our difficulties without making it a public spectacle in the world. We ought to be able to come together in the church and resolve any issues that we have, because the Spirit of God certainly is working in someone among us has the wisdom of God and has God's ability to discern. And so he goes on and he says, do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? Did you know that we will judge angels, saints of God? Did you know that we will judge the heavenlies and even the world? And that is referring to the second coming of Christ and during the days of judgment, when evil is being judged and all that Satan has orchestrated and has done will be cast into the lake of fire. Oh, the saints of God will be a part of that. In fact, in Revelation, it says, when we see Satan and all that he is, we're going to say, is this the one who deceived the nations? Is this the one who caused all the world to go into rebellion and sin against God? And we're going to be surprised at his appearance. That is a place and a time that is coming. And those of us who have surrendered our hearts to Christ and are servants of the Lord, we will be a part of that judgment. So we are certainly ought to be able to work out our own issues and our own problems among ourselves. And so he says, so if you have law courts dealing with matters of this life, do you appoint them as judges who are of no account in the church? In other words, you're going to go and allow someone who is ungodly to make a decision in your behalf because you can't come before those who are of the Lord and abide by their decision? And so this is a question in the situation that not only takes place today, it was taking place back in Paul's day, and it's still happening even today. He says, I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren? But brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers? Really? Unbelievers are going to make a judgment for in your behalf? And he goes on and says, actually, then, it is already a defeat for you that you have lawsuits with one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud. You do this even to your brethren. And he says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And so the world is in a place of darkness. The world is in a place where they will not inherit the kingdom of God, and they don't have the right, really, to judge the believer, to make decisions in behalf of the believer. And so God says, if you have issues, you have problems, let's resolve them among ourselves. Let's work them out among ourselves and allow the wisdom of God to be in the midst of us so that all of us can benefit, so all of us can grow, so that all of us can be drawn closer to God, so that we can all experience change and transformation. He says, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified. That means to be holy, to be set apart for God. That's you and I. We were in the lost condition, but now we have been redeemed. He says, you were justified or made right, or you are upright or vindicated, validated, and pardoned. Hallelujah. Don't you love that? Don't you love that? It's saying you were guilty, but God had mercy on us. This is a picture of what the grace of God looks like. God is reconciling us. He's saying, I don't want to lose you. I don't want you to suffer loss. I want you to be drawn back to me. I want you to be restored to me. So guess what? I am going to set you apart, and I'm going to make you right and establish you. I'm going to build you up. I'm going to make you upright. I'm going to build you up, and I'm going to vindicate you, and I'm going to validate you and let you know that what you're doing, it's a good thing. And I want you to continue to grow and become more like Jesus. I want you to continue to change and move in the right direction. I want you to understand that you've made your mistakes, but I'm not holding them against you. You're pardoned. My mercies are new every morning. We could start afresh. All of that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. In the Spirit of our God. And God has not only just done this randomly, but He's imparted His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work with us. He's at work in us. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us and to enable us so that we can grow and be transformed into the image of God. He gives us what to say when we need to speak. He'll give us pause when we need to be quiet. I know that's sometimes challenging to grab hold of, but I'm sure you've had that happen when you know you wanted to say something, but for some reason you were able to hold your tongue. And you glorified God for that. Hallelujah. Because that is an accomplishment. And there are times when you wanted to say something, but you just didn't because something held you back. And it wasn't something, it was someone. It was the Lord. It was Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And so in Philippians 1, Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for all of you, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. You see, we are participants with the gospel. We have Christ in us. We have experienced the gospel. We have been changed by the gospel. And now we are being used of God to bring the gospel and to impart it to others. And God wants us to have an impact on the lives of other people by seizing opportunities to share Christ, to share the truths of God, to share the witness of the Spirit of God, and to tell them of all that God has done for us. You see, all we need to do is share what God has done for us. You may not know every scripture there is to know, but you do know what God's done for you. You do remember how He saved you. You do remember how He liberated you, how He redeemed you, even maybe how He healed your body and how He renewed your mind, how your thinking and your thought processes were changed. You remember how you used to think and how you think now. That is the work of God. That is your testimony. That is your story. That is the thing that will have impact on the lives of the people God will bring your way. God will create opportunities and open doors for us to share. He will bring people to us who have a need to talk and to hear what we have to say. Not everybody wants to hear what we have to say. But when God sends someone, let us not hold back. Let us be free to share. Freely we received, we ought to freely give. He says, in view of participation in the gospel from the first day until now. In other words, God has been working on us ever since we got saved. Ever since you gave your heart to Christ, God has been has been transforming you. He has been working in you. He has been helping you to become more and more of the person that he has desired for you to be. In verse 6, he says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it." He will erect it. He will build it up. That's that means. And he will perform it. It will come to pass like a performance. He's going to orchestrate it. And you are being transformed. You are being made new. You are being used of God to have an impact. And then he will finish it. He will have the grand finale. Ta-da-da-da. And that will be when Christ returns. And you will hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And the Lord God will be glorified. God will be honored. God will be exalted. Why? Because you surrendered yourself to God. You allowed him to work in you, to build you up. You allowed him to perform all the things that he wanted to do. He used you to be a blessing. He used you to help people draw closer to God. He used you to endure whatever it was that you needed to endure. But in the end, Christ was glorified. This is what God does. He brings us to that place of completion. And that is in the day of Christ. In fact, the scripture says, we don't know what we shall be, but we do know this, that we will be like him. Hallelujah. We will be like him. And you and I can always rise up in the morning and say, one more day closer to being like Jesus. And we can know and understand that we are to help each other to become more and more like Jesus. And so when someone points out something that is the result of an impact in your life, maybe it was when you were growing up. Maybe it was an experience you had, a bad relationship, or maybe it was a bad experience or something that you suffered and you endured and it caused a dent in your heart. It caused a dent in your life. And now we're functioning and operating out of our hurt. And someone says, that needs to change. Don't get mad at them. Don't get mad at them because God is using them to help you draw closer to God, to help you overcome the challenge that you are facing, the difficulties that you've been through, helping you to overcome. It's like being sent to the body shop. And they come with the hammer and the drills and all the tools to bang out the dents. And sometimes we need the dents banged out of us. Sometimes we need to have things smoothed over and puttied over, and we need to be repainted and buffed out and shined so that we can be made new. Sometimes there are things that just can't be fixed, so they have to be replaced. And so we replace those things with the Word of God, or with the things of God, and God covers us, and he renews us, and he restores us. And we are transformed. And all the people see is the newness of Christ shining through us. It is Christ who radiates from us. And this is what God is working out in our lives. He says in verse 7, "For it is only right for me to feel this mission of the gospel. You all are partakers of grace with me." And so Paul is imprisoned and he's writing this letter and he's suffered for the gospel's sake, but he's remembering them. He's remembering all that he went through and he said, I did it for you. And we're all suffering. We all endure. We're going to have hardships. We're going to have people say things we don't like. We're going to have difficult things that take place in our lives, but we endure it for the cause of Christ. We suffer because of Jesus. And we desire to reflect him in all that we do. In verse 8, he says, for God is my witness. Saints of God, is God your witness today? I pray that God is your witness. He is your witness, whether you like it or not, right? Really, we don't really have a choice. God is witnessing everything. So, you know, God is our witness. He's either a witness for you or a witness against you. Isn't that right? And certainly, no matter which way it is, it's to your benefit. It's to your benefit. If God testifies against you, it means it's time to bring about a change. If God testifies for you, it means you're doing well. Let's keep going forward. And God will continue to be glorified and he will be honored as long as we adapt and change and to reflect the image of Christ. And so he says, how long? How I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Do you desire to see people come to Christ? Do you desire to see people become more and more like Jesus? Do you desire to see the representation of God to arise in people's lives? Well, I pray that you do. John 3:6 says, that which is born of the flesh, or it is carnal. And that which is born of the Spirit, that which is of the Holy Spirit, is spirit. If you notice, spirit is a capital S. That means it's holy. It's the Holy Spirit. It is the pneuma of God. And it means that that spirit has made you alive. The Spirit of God makes you alive. And it is the pneuma of God that is breathed into us that makes us alive. And when we're born of God, when we're born again, it is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that is breathed into us. He says, do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit of God. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. I pray that you're born of the Spirit today. And if the Spirit of God has taken up residence within you, has the Holy Spirit of God been breathed into you? Has God given you life? Has he raised you up? Do you have the attributes of Christ radiating within you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and gentleness. All of the fruit of the Spirit working and stirring within you, gaining strength, becoming stronger and stronger, more and more like him every day. Well, Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ is that which we just read. It's the law that says when Christ comes in you, he breathes life into you. That means you have joy. No matter what happens, you have the joy of the Lord. No matter what happens, you have the peace of God. No matter what happens, you are patient and you are kind and you are gentle. And you have all of these attributes that have been inseated within us. And we have them. And so now God creates an environment where it can be watered and nurtured and brought to fruition. And this is what God is doing in the midst of our lives. This is the impact that Christ has in our lives. And God has called us to have an impact. He's called us to have an impact on one another as he has had an impact on us. We have been made free from the law of sin and death. And for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. And so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Saints of God, that's you and I. The Holy Spirit enables us. He empowers us. He strengthens us. He enables us. And so we walk according to the Spirit. And that means the Holy Spirit is unctioning us. He's moving us along. And he is causing us to operate and to feel and to sense and to do what we do as God brings revelation to us and understanding to us. And he enables us to see and enables us to make the right decisions and to be able to help one another to come to a place of Christ-likeness as we live our lives each day. He enables us to have an impact. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." This is a recipe. This is a recipe. It says, don't be anxious. He says, but in everything, prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication. You pray and you cry out to God with a yielded heart. And he says, with thanksgiving, you are grateful for what God is about to do, for what God is going to do in your life, how he is going to bring about a change, how he is going to bring about a transformation, how he is going to enable you to have a divine impact so that your testimony may be greater, your story may be enhanced, so that you would be able to be the person that God has called you to be, so that the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, that you would be able to be the witness that God has called you to be. He says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, oh, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Dwell on these things. Let this mind that was in Christ Jesus also be in you. This is the idea that it may look in a way that you don't think it ought to look, but God says, find something good to grab onto. Find the one thing that is right. Find the one thing that is pure, that is going to be a blessing and that is going to be helpful to you. If you can just grasp one thing and hold on to it, you will see the excellence of God. You will see God show up and manifest himself. He will use you and transform you and enable you and empower you as an agent of change. The Spirit of God transforming hearts, renewing minds, and empowering his people. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.